Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. The impersonal monist does not believe that God is the only object of worship and that the living entities are His eternal servants. According to the monist, God and the devotee may be separate in the material sense, in material state, but when they are spiritually situated, there is no difference between them. This is called Advaita Siddhanta, the conclusion of the monists. Monists consider devotional service of the Lord to be material activity. Therefore, they consider such devotional activities to be the same as karma or fruitive activity. This monistic mistake is a great stumbling block on the road to devotional service. Actually, this discussion between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda was a mock fight to serve as a great instruction for all devotees. Sri Nityananda Prabhu wanted to point out that Advaita Acharya, pure devotee, did not agree with the monistic conclusion. The conclusion of devotional service is Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. Bhagavatam 1-11. Absolute knowledge consists of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. This conclusion is not the same as that of the monist. Srila Advaita Acharya was given the title of Acharya because he spread the bhakti cult, not the philosophy of monism. The true conclusion of Advaita Siddhanta, expressed at the very beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 1-3, is not the same as the philosophy of the monist. Here, Advaita Siddhanta means Advaya Jnana, or oneness in variety. Actually, Srila Nityananda Prabhu was praising Srila Advaita Acharya through friendly mock fighting. He was giving the Vaishnava conclusions in terms of the Bhagavatam's conclusive words, Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidah. This is also the conclusion of a mantra in the Chandogya Upanishad, Ekam Eva Advitiyam. A devotee knows that there is oneness in diversity. The mantras of the Shastras do not support the monistic conclusions of the impersonalist, nor does Vaishnava philosophy accept impersonalism without variety. Brahman is the greatest, he who includes everything, and that is oneness. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Mattaha parataram nanyat, there is no one superior to Krishna himself. He is the original substance, because every category emanates from him. Thus, he is simultaneously one with and different from all other categories. The Lord is always engaged in a variety of spiritual activities, but the monist cannot understand spiritual variety. The conclusion is that although the powerful and the power are one and the same, within the energy of the powerful, there are varieties. In those varieties, there is a distinction between the different parts of one's personal self, between types of the same category, and between types of different categories. In other words, there is always variety in the categories, which are understood as knowledge, the knower, and the knowable. Due to the eternal existence of knowledge, the knower, and knowable, devotees everywhere know about the eternal existence of the form, name, qualities, pastimes, and entourage of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotees never agree with the monistic preaching of oneness. With the monist's preaching of oneness. Unless one adheres to the conceptions of the knower, the knowable, and knowledge, there is no possibility of understanding spiritual variety. Nor can one taste the transcendental bliss of spiritual variety. The philosophy of monism is an adjustment of the Buddhist philosophy of voidism. In a mock fight with Sri Advaita Acharya, Sri Nityananda Prabhu was refuting this type of monistic philosophy. Vaishnavas certainly accept Lord Krishna, Lord Shri Krishna, as the ultimate one. And that which is without Krishna is called Maya, or that which has no existence. External Maya is exhibited in two phases, Jiva Maya, the living entities, and Guna Maya, the material world. In the material world, there is Prakriti, material nature, and Pradhan, the ingredients of material nature. However, for one who becomes Krishna conscious, the distinction between material and spiritual varieties does not exist. An advanced devotee like Prahlad Maharaj sees everything as one Krishna. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.4.37, Krishna Graha Grihita Atma Naveda Jagadidrisham. One who is in full Krishna consciousness does not distinguish between things material and spiritual. He takes everything to be related to Krishna and therefore spiritual. By Advaya Jnana Darshan, Sri Advaita Acharya has glorified pure devotional service. Srila Nityananda Prabhu herein sarcastically condemns the philosophy of the impersonal monists, and praises the correct non-dual philosophy of Sri Advaita Prabhu. Hari Bol. Om Adnyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namahum Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. What a purport, huh? Many years ago, one devotee invited me for prasadam to his house. And I said, I want to eat something light. So, soup would be good. So that devotee is an French-English devotee. And he made some soup. He served in a bowl. And when I started to have the soup, it was so thick. So thick. Seemingly it was soup. He called it something called as pottage. Is that something it's really thick. It's a soup, but it's like sabji. So this purport is like that. It's thick purport. A lot of material is in there. I generally don't use this laptop, but I thought I will present something. And now I realize that the screen might be too small. So we shall see how it goes. What I thought would be good is to summarize what the purport talks about impersonalism. How many of you here are formally certified or having masters or bachelors or PhDs in Advaita Vedanta? Anyone? No? So, we don't need it. Mahaprabhu warned, if you hear Mayavad Bhasha, then you will have Sarvanash. And yet, Prabhupada again and again in his purports all the way through describes the essence of Mayavad so that we understand our own Siddhanta better. By knowing what is not right, you can have a better understanding of what is right. So, managing the screen is going to be interesting, but I'm going to try to go through Advaitavad, which is also known as Mayavad by the Vaishnavas. It is also known as Prachanna Baudhavad or covered Buddhism. The principles will be interesting if you pay attention, and some of the misconceptions of what we think generally as Mayavad will also be clarified. But I don't want to just present Mayavad, otherwise it's not the right substance, right? So we will then look at how these points which are given by Shankaracharya have so many faults according to the Vaishnavacharyas. And then we'll look at the Siddhanta of what the truth is. And that is exactly what is there in the purport of Srila Prabhupada. So we know that Prakashanand Saraswati, for example, was a Mayavadi. And when Mahaprabhu saw Prakashananda in Jagannath Puri, he was there with all his disciples, thousands of them. And Mahaprabhu was just sitting in a corner. Prakashanand invited him. And on the right-hand side, you can see, he was then trying to illuminate Prakashanand Saraswati. And in that discussion, he said, one of the things that he said was that the biggest fault is that Mayavad, the entire Mayavad philosophy is based on indirect understanding of scriptures, not of direct understanding. And then similarly we see that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, when he tried to explain Vedanta Sutra to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya said, well, actually the Vedanta Sutra is very clear. Your explanations are most mysterious. They don't make any sense. And of course, later on, he explained the Vedanta Sutra, and he ended by explaining the Atmaram verse, after which he revealed his form as both, you know, as Ram and Krishna, personality himself. So you can see on the right-hand side, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is paying his obeisances. So, the reason we understand, we would like to understand this Mayavad philosophy is to be able to better understand our own Siddhanta. And all these years that I have been on and off giving talks, I never received a verse which talks about Mayavad. So today is the first time. Somebody asked me, what is your method or technique for giving a class? I said, just stick to the verse. So that's my simple technique, if you can call it a technique. So this verse only talks about Mayavad, and hence, fortunately or unfortunately, we'll have to talk about this topic. And it's Siddhanta. It's not Leela, but it's Siddhanta. Sometimes we think Siddhanta is very difficult. Huh? Siddhanta means conclusions. Very difficult, very technical. Doesn't have to be. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, right at the beginning, in Adi Leela, second chapter, right at the beginning, he says, Siddhanta boliya chitte na koro alash, hiya hoite Krishna lage shudrida manas. A sincere student should not neglect the discussion of such conclusions, considering them controversial or difficult to understand. For such discussions strengthen the mind. Thus one's mind becomes attached to Krishna. This is Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami right at the beginning. And then we see that when Mahaprabhu is giving instruction to Sanatana Goswami, Mahaprabhu also says this. What does he say? Shastra jukte shunipuna dhrid shraddha. Even I can't read this word. Shastra jukte shunipuna dhrid shraddha jar uttamo adhikari shai taroye samsar. One who is expert in logic, argument and revealed scriptures and who has firm faith in Krishna is classified as a topmost devotee. He can deliver the whole world. So the system in the olden days, and when I went to two schools. One was the normal day school, which every one of us go to. And then in the later part of evening or late afternoon was the Pathshala, which was run by one Vaishnava from Rudra Sampradaya. But the method of understanding, so we were taught not just about the Vaishnava Sampradaya, Vaishnava Bhashyas, we were also taught Purva Paksha. So the ancient system is that one has to be fully cognizant of Purva Paksha. Purva Paksha means other point of view. And then you can provide Uttara Paksha. Uttara Paksha means your point of view. And after that you provide Siddhanta. Ante Siddhaha iti Siddhantaha. Ante Siddhaha means what is concluded at the end is the Siddhanta. But you cannot give a conclusion by commenting on someone without first presenting their philosophy. Do you understand? Suppose you want to discredit the Mimamsas. You should be able to present the entire Mimamsa's point of view and then give your refutation or rebuttal and then give your conclusion. This was the method. And this is not done with a mood of putting somebody down. In fact, Lord Chaitanya, we see from his example, he did not condone Mayavad, he did not accept Mayavad, but he did not attack either Sarvabhauma personally or Prakashanand Saraswati personally. He was very respectful towards them. Not only that, Lord Chaitanya has told us that Shankaracharya is non-different from Lord Shiva. So there is no question of being offensive against Shankaracharya. There is no question. And yet, we do not accept anything of Shankara's philosophy. Why? So, should I go ahead and give you a synopsis of what is there in Shankara's philosophy? Yeah. I can only do that if you don't leave the class halfway. Otherwise, you might become a monist. Okay. So, actually, there are some animations, but given the size of the screen, it's not going to work, so I'm going to be putting everything together and try to do it this way. So this particular verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita also says, and you just stay with me when you just look at the screen, but also just stay with me, there are seven things that we're going to talk about. I'll summarize once again, very quickly. So according to Mayavad philosophy, or Shankara's Advaita philosophy as they call it, everything is just one, Brahman. Actually nothing else exists. Nirgunam, Nishkalam, Shukshmam. These are all the quotes directly from Shankaracharya. So before we were taught Vaishnava Vedanta in the school, we were also taught Shariraka Bhashya and we were also taught Viveka Chudamani, which is the conclusion of Advaita Siddhanta given by Shankaracharya himself. And then we are taught Vaishnava Vedanta to see how Shankaracharya's philosophy is all over the place. And we can say it with some surety. So, what is there in this world? Nothing, just Brahman. There's only one entity, Brahman. Nirgunam. And that Brahman has no attributes. Which means, why it doesn't have any attributes? For example, if I say that Ananta Prabhu here, he is wearing a, what color do you think this is? Orange, yeah? Yeah, he's wearing a orange, what would you call it? Jacket? Hoodie. He's wearing an orange hoodie. So there is Ananta and there is orange hoodie. There is two. But the principle of Advaita is there is no two. There's only one Brahman. Everything is just one Brahman. So you cannot give any attributes to Brahman. You cannot say that Brahman has something. Brahman has nothing. It just is. It is nirguna. It has no attributes. Nirguna. Guna means attributes, qualities. Nirguna means it has no attributes at all. Ekameva dvayam brahma neha nanasti kimchana. Shankaracharya says, there is only one Brahman. This verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita that we are discussing also says there is only one Brahman. There is nothing beyond besides it. In fact, that Brahman cannot even be called to have any attributes. Because the moment you say something has attributes, you are creating two. Isn't it? You understand what is an attribute? Quality. For example, we say this room is huge. Then there are two things. There is the room and there is hugeness. So there are two things suddenly. So you cannot say this room is huge. Then you are introducing two things. You cannot say Brahman is Satchidananda. If you say Brahman is Satchidananda, then you are giving qualities to Brahman, na? Attributes to Brahman. So that is not acceptable. So Brahman is one without attributes. First point. Now that creates a problem. What is the problem? If you read the Shastra, second point. If you read the Shastra, Shastra describes Brahman as, for example, in Taittiriya Upanishad, it says, Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. That Brahman, this Brahman, is Satya, is Jnana, is Ananta. Now we have a problem. What is the problem? Attributes. Suddenly, Shastra is talking about attributes. So, how does Shankaracharya deal with that? He says, the Shastra that talks about attributes, actually, it is, Shastra is just a means to point you towards the ultimate. Shastra is not describing the ultimate. It is just pointing to the ultimate. So ultimately, when you are fully realized, you don't need Shastra. In fact, Shastras don't exist. Whatever Shastra says is of no value. He says this in Viveka Chudamani. Shastras are of no value once you are fully realized. Actually, what is full realization? That you have become Brahman? That you have entered Brahman? There is no merging into Brahman. There is no entering into Brahman. Realization is that you are Brahman. Because there is no attributes, right? Remember. So first point was Brahman has no attributes. Second is, Shastras, what does he say? Anirupya swarupam yan manovacham agocharam. This Brahman cannot be described by Shastra. Mana, by mind, vacham, by speech. We cannot describe Brahman. It is indescribable. Because the problem is, the moment you start describing something, suppose if I say, think of an apple. What do you think?
Red.
Huh? Red. You think red. You may think juicy. You may think a little leaf green. So already in any speech in this world, whenever you speak of something, you are going to talk about attributes. So his way of coming out of that situation, Shankaracharya says, Shastra is just, it's only pointing. So when, for example, Upanishads say, Prabhupada quotes this many times, Nityo Nityanam Chetanash Chetananam Eko Bahunam Vidadhati Kaman. Upanishads are saying, what is the meaning? Nityo Nityanam. There is one unique conscious being amongst many conscious beings. This is Krishna. This is Bhagavan himself. Eko Bahunam. He is one amongst many, Vidadhati Kaman, who serves the desires of many. So there is one personality who serves the desires of many. But this kind of explanation Shankaracharya cannot give. So he says, this is only relative. Scriptures are only speaking relatively. For example, when Shastra says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja, then Shankaracharya says, you can, because there is only one Brahman, correct? So when Krishna says, surrender to me, he is actually saying, surrender to Brahman. But how will you prove that? By saying that what Krishna means is surrender to that which is within him, which is Brahman. Yeah? So in simple words, Brahman has no attributes and it is only one, and scriptures are only pointing you to the Supreme Brahman. They are not giving you any conclusive statements. The moment you start saying so scriptures are conclusive, you have the problem, because scriptures, for example, says that the Supreme is Satchidananda. You cannot explain that. Those are attributes. Are you following? So then you may say, if everything is just Brahman, what is this world? What is this Jagat? How is it Mithya? How is it Mithya? How? So he has to say, he has to tell us how it is Mithya, na?
Changing.
That's not Mithya. Yes. Yes, if you start saying that Jagat is real, this world is real, then you introduce another problem. What is the problem? Originally you said Brahman is one and without attributes. Now you are saying the world is real, then the problem is there is two. The world is real and Brahman is real. That is why he says, no, this world is unreal. That way, Brahman is the only one. But then if this world is unreal, how it is unreal and it still exists? So he says it is like the rope and the snake example. He says, just like rope is real, snake is the illusion. So he gives example, a man, he wakes up early morning every day at dawn and he goes out to the fields. One day he wakes up and he steps out of his house and he jumps because he sees a snake. But actually, as the sun comes out properly, he realizes it's not snake, it is a rope. So it is only out of illusion that this Brahman, which is one, some part of it thinks that this world exists. Now we will come to the rebuttal, to the refutation of this. Okay, for now you just go with his flow. So he says Brahman is like Rajju, like rope. And the Jagat is like Sarpa. So his conclusion is Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithyeti Evam Rupo Vinishchayaha. That Brahman is true, this Jagat is only Mithya. But you still haven't answered my question. If this world is false, all this, everything we are saying is false. Only Brahman is one, is real. Please explain, why is this falsehood created? So he says, because of Maya. What is this Maya? This Maya is that avidya, the ignorance, the confusion. Like the man seeing the rope and thinking it is a snake is because of his illusion, the confusion. Similarly, Maya is what gives us the confusion that this world is real. Actually, it is unreal. But that introduces another problem. You know what is the problem? Then is Maya real or not? Isn't it? Now if he says Maya is real, then he has introduced two people. One is Brahman, one is Maya. If he says Maya is unreal, then there is another problem. How can something unreal give you the real result of illusion or avidya? That too superimposed on the real. How can something unreal superimpose the real and provide confusion or illusion? So Maya, what is it? Real or unreal?
Temporal.
Huh? Temporal. He doesn't say temporal. He says, and I'm actually quoting Shankaracharya's own words. He says, Mahadbhuta, this Maya is very, very great. Mahadbhuta, anirvachaniya rupa. He says, this Maya is indescribable. So this way, he proves, so according to us, Maya is illusion. According to Shankaracharya, Maya is neither real nor unreal, it is both. Maya, according to Shankara philosophy, is completely real. Only then it can create the illusion. But it is also completely unreal. Because if it is real, then you will create two beings, Brahman and Maya. So Maya has this anirvachaniya, has indescribable quality. That is why Vaishnavas call them Mayavadis. Because they cannot describe Maya. Are you following? Are you still with me? Then you might say, okay, what about us? There are so many of us here in this room. Maybe 40 of us, 30 of us. So we are all jivas. So what are we? How are we jivas? And we think, so I don't think I am same as Damodar. Damodar is sitting there with his glasses on and thinking hat on, thinking about what I am saying. But I am not Damodar. Here there is another Damodar Bandhu. I am not Damodar Bandhu also. So, I am different, Damodar is different, Damodar Bandhu is... All of us are different. How did these differences come? Because the moment you say there are many of us, differences, again, Shankara's original principle that Brahman is just one, it will break. It will be destroyed. So he says, actually these jivas are like gata akasha nyaya. Gata means a pot, akasha means space. If you have many, many pots, you may think that there is different space in each pot, empty pots. But in reality, space is just one. It's only that pot which is giving you an illusion that the pot contains that much space. But actually there is only one space. He gives this kind of explanation. And then you might ask, okay, so what is this pot? How this pot is created? Oh, that, as I said, is created by Maya. That pot is called Upadhi. Upadhi meaning, now this is not the Upadhi that Rupa Goswami talks about, huh? Sarva Upadhi Vinirmukta. That's not the Upadhi. See, the terms may be similar, but our understanding is different. So he says these pots are different jivas and this upadhi is avidya. Because they are ignorant, they are thinking as separate pots. That is why, because we are ignorant, I am thinking I am Kartik Chandra Das. He is thinking he is Damodar Bandhu Das. He is thinking he is Damodar Das. Reality, you break the pot, which means you get rid of avidya. Now, how will you get rid of avidya? How will you get rid of avidya? Ignorance, how do you get rid of ignorance? Logical. Knowledge. So, in Shankara's philosophy, the moment you have personal experience and knowledge, that you are Brahman, that's it, you are realized. There is no activity needed, nothing. Then there is a question, then if no activity is needed, why so many Mayavadis? You know, Mayavadis, they give big seminars like this. And like some of you, the audience is sleeping. So then, suddenly they start clapping and doing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And like you all, the audience wakes up. The problem is, why they have to chant Hare Krishna if just realization is enough? Why they have to, they will also have deities. Mayavadis also sing and dance. They will chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra also. They will chant all mantras. Why? Because they have a concept of Ishvara. So there are many jivas, na? See, these jivas, can you see, are like buckets or pots. And these, Shankara himself says, Jivasya karyam shrunu panchakosham. Because of this artificial bucket of bodies, which are nothing but illusion, created by this Maya, which is indescribable, by the way, because it is real and unreal at the same time. That is why we are all thinking we are individual bodies. But then there is one set of bodies which is very interesting, which is actually shattered its outer shell. So it is like this, like you see on the screen. And that body has holes in it, in the sense, I'm just trying to explain it, just to make you understand that this Ishvara is nothing but a jiva. So, Ram, Krishna, they are nothing but jivas, ordinary jivas, who have realized Brahman. But bear in mind, they are not fully realized. Because if they are fully realized, then they will be just Brahman. They will not be Ishvara. They will not have the form anymore. So Ishvara is also a jiva which has material body, but they have realized their supreme sameness as Brahman. That is why Ishasya Maya Mahadadi Karanam. Now the interesting thing is, you think of Ishvara, because then there are things like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, you don't remember your past life, but I remember your past life, my life, and past lives of everyone. And I know everyone. And then Krishna says, I am in everyone's heart. I know what is going on in everyone's heart. How will the Mayavadis explain this? So they say, this Ishvara is also an ordinary jiva with ordinary body, but he has realized, so he has filled himself with the knowledge of Maya. So if you can see this full diagram here, you see the grey box. Within the grey box, these small pots which are there, purple pots, they are jivas. But Ishvara is different kind of a jiva. He has, you can see these holes here. So he can actually understand, because of the holes, he can go out and he can understand all of Maya. So jiva is nothing but covered by all. Sorry, Ishvara is nothing but covered by all of Maya. Whereas jiva is only covered by that small upadhi of panchakosha. Ishvara is covered by all of Maya. This is why Prabhupada says that Mayavadis, actually Mahaprabhu says, Mayavadis are Krishna Apuradhi. Why? Because they think the body of Krishna is mundane, is material. You see, when Mayavadis, this Mayavadi seminars or something, if you ever go to, don't go to, but if you do, they will also have all these things. They will have deities, they will have some arati, they will have kirtan. And then they will say, everything is just one. Why they have that? Why is Ishwar needed? Ishwara is needed so that we can all see what kind of example we have to become. We have to become like Krishna, realizing that Krishna has realized that he is Brahman. We have to become like him. So this is why the Mayavad philosophy is fully, you make one assumption, Brahman is one, and then with that one assumption, you're trying to prove using all these other things. And then how do we ultimately become free? Moksha. Moksha is through jnana. So then why you perform bhakti? Why do you have deities? Mayavadi temple also. They will, sometimes, devotees, we don't understand the philosophy. So we fall for it. Some singer is singing Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Oh, such a nice singer. Somebody has nice big temple. We think, oh, beautiful deities, nice temple, nice worship. But what is the intention of that worship is important. So Prabhupada quotes Shankaracharya. He says, Sadhakanam hitarthaya brahma rupasya kalpana. Shankaracharya says, Prabhupada quotes. Now, in my readings, I did not come across this quote of Shankaracharya. So if anyone here in this room is a hidden Mayavadi, please meet me after the class and tell me where this quote is from, because I don't know which book Shankara says this. But Prabhupada quotes it. The meaning is this, sadhakanam hitarthaya. Just for the sadhaka's benefit, brahmarupena kalpana, brahmarupasya kalpana. We have imagined the form of this Brahman just because, as a sadhaka, as a practitioner, we cannot focus our mind on this one Brahman. So just to help us, we have done kalpana, we have done some imagination of some form. So these are all imaginary form. Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. These are all imaginary form according to them. Huh? This is the philosophy of Mayavad. We cannot stop here now. Now, one more point, which is mentioned in the purport of this verse by Prabhupada, that Mayavad is nothing but hidden Buddhism. How is it hidden Buddhism? See, you can see it. So here, this is the verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mayavadam asashastram prachannam baudham uchyate. Prachannam baudham. It's only hidden Buddhism. Mayeva vihitam devi. Shiva is telling to Parvati, I will preach this Mayavad. Kalau brahmana murtina. I will appear as a brahmana in Kali Yuga and I'll preach Mayavad. But it is covered Buddhism. How is it covered Buddhism? So if you see this screen, you see now this will be extremely clear how it is covered Buddhism. What does Mayavad say? There is only Brahman which is without qualities. Buddhists, they say, there is only Shunya, there is only zero, nothing exists. And that nothing is without any qualities. So then you might say, okay, Mr. Buddhist, can you please tell me what that nothing is? You have said the truth is only nothing. Okay. So what is that nothing? Please tell us. So that is why the Buddhists say, oh, that nothing cannot be described by scriptures. Mano vacham agocharam. Buddhism also, it says exactly same words. Mano vacham agocharam. Scriptures cannot describe Brahman, Advaita says. Buddhists say, scriptures cannot describe Shunya. That is why you have different parts of Buddhist philosophy. Anyway, there is Mahayana Buddhism, Theravada Buddhism. This is a different topic for another time. But there is also like Zen Buddhism. And in Japan, the Zen Buddhists, they give, the Buddhist master, they gives you a koan. A koan is like a riddle of some sort, which you have to not try to figure out. That will give you realization that actually nothing is so difficult to figure out. Like, for example, what is the sound of one hand clapping? Is one very famous Zen koan. So Zen Buddhists, they say, these kind of koans, yeah, they are essentially just gibberish to tell you that you cannot figure it out. So realize the shunya, that you are shunya, everything is zero, and you cannot figure out that zero. So the word Zen comes from the Sanskrit word dhyana. You have to simply be, meditate. So Shankara says, Shastras cannot really describe the attributes of Brahman, because if you describe attributes, you have a problem that there is two. Shunyavad also says, Buddhist also says, scripture is not needed. Shankara says, you need guru, because guru is more realized than you. But once you become realized, you are the guru. You don't need guru anymore. Once Shastra is pointing you to the direction, but for example, you take a sat-nav to reach from home to your friend's house. But you don't remain with the sat-nav after you reach the friend's house, correct? Then sat-nav is useless. You switch off the application. Similarly, guru is useless after you reach. Shastra is also useless after once you know you are Brahman, you are fully realized. No Shastra is needed. Viveka Chudamani says, I'm quoting Shankara. So this is same as Shunyavad. Shastra not needed. Okay. Then Shankaracharya says, Jagat is mithya, is illusion. So it doesn't really exist. What does Buddhist say? Mr. Buddhist, he says, this world is zero. Shunya doesn't exist. Both are saying same thing. Then, you might ask Mr. Buddhist, then how all this world that I see, how is that here? So, what does Shankara say? It is because of Maya, which is avidya. Mr. Buddhist says, it is because of a veil, samvriti, which is also avidya. So, exact same. So, you might say, then what is this avidya, samvriti? Is it real or unreal, Mr. Buddhist? He says it is both real and unreal. Same as Shankara. He just calls it Maya. So, then you might say, okay, what about all the jivas, Mr. Buddhist? We are all living entities. So, Shankara says we are jivas because we have upadhis. We have these different buckets of panchakosha that we are in. But what does Buddha solves it in a very simple way. He says, actually, we are all anatmas. Actually, there are no atma. Buddhist philosophy, there is no atma. It is also another name of Buddhist philosophy is anatmavad. There is no atmas at all. Anatmavad. So he, by finishing the whole topic, he says, okay, there is no question of different jivas. It's only illusion. And then you might say, what about Ishvara? Like Ishvara, according to, in simple words, according to Shankara, the Ishvaras, Ram, Krishna, Avatar, all this, they are just stepping stones to tell us that we have to become like that. They are helping us to become like themselves. They are just helpers. Similarly, in Buddhist philosophy, they have bodhisattvas. Have you ever seen a laughing Buddha? Yeah. You know, sometimes he's lying down and laughing, sometimes sitting, standing, laughing. You might wonder, what is this laughing Buddha? Is it Siddhartha Gautama Buddha? It is not. These laughing Buddhas are bodhisattvas. Many, many, many beings who are not 100% Buddha, but they are remaining in this world just to help us become Buddhas. Just like this Ishvara is in this world, he is not 100% Brahman realized. He is in the world to help us. So in this way, you can see everything that is spoken in Buddhism is rebranded in Advaita, and that is why the Vaishnavas consider it to be Prachanna Buddhism. Prachanna is covered Buddhism. Now is the main thing, the exciting thing. What is our view? Now Lord Chaitanya's view, our Siddhanta. When they say Brahman, now just see the faults. If you have been inattentive or sleeping so far, that may not be so bad. But now you can wake up. So Buddhists are saying, Mayavadis are saying, Brahman is real, but Jagat is mithya. Tell me one example of some unreal thing being produced from a real thing. Is it possible? How can Jagat, which is, according to them, unreal, be produced from Brahman, which is real? If the cause is real, the effect will be real. Cause is unreal, the effect will be unreal. So only Brahman, according to the Siddhanta, and blue is the argument and green is the Siddhanta. According to the Siddhanta, Brahman is only one aspect. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Brahman is only one aspect of the three aspects of God. Brahman is the impersonal aspect, Paramatma is the localized aspect in everyone's heart, and Bhagwan is the personal aspect of God. So Brahman is not the ultimate. Yes, Brahman is one, but that is not the ultimate. And if Brahman is real, Jagat has to be real. As the cause is real, therefore the world has to be real. It's not possible to have a real cause for an illusory, unreal. Illusory is one thing, but unreal result. So, then he gives example. Listen to this properly. Huh? He gives example, this world is just like the snake, and the real Brahman is just like the rope. So we think that this is a snake instead of a rope. Now tell me, if I give that argument, this world is like the rope. I'm confusing Brahman to be rope. I'm confusing the rope to be a snake. And that is why I am thinking of this Brahman as Jagat. This part of Brahman as Jagat. If I tell you that, you have confused the rope to be a snake. If I tell you that, there are two conditions there. One condition, there is something real called snake that has to exist. And there is something real called rope that has to exist, which you must have pre-experienced. Can a little child who has never seen a snake confuse a rope to be a snake? No, not possible. So by saying that you confuse the rope to be a snake, that is why you think this world, which is illusory, is real, Mr. Mayavadi, what you are saying is that this world is real and you had previous experience of this world. Because to be able to say that I have confused the rope to be a snake, I must have had a previous experience of what a snake is. Otherwise, there is no possibility of me equating one thing to another. Both things must have been previously experienced, isn't it? Therefore, the snake also previously existed, rope also previously existed. So your philosophy that Brahman is just one is broken. Isn't it? And Maya, they say, is real and unreal. The Acharyas, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Lord Chaitanya, Vallabhacharya, Nimbarkacharya, they all ask, please give us one example of one thing in this world or in our experience, anything in our experience which is both 100% real and 100% unreal at the same time. If you give us one example, we'll accept your explanation of what Maya is. There is no such example. It's unheard of. This concept is unheard of. And then, Shastra, Mayavadis, they say scriptures are actually just pointing you to the one. It's not the ultimate conclusion. Well, in that case, Mr. Mayavadis, you should not be preaching at all. Because if Shastra is false, Brahman is the only real, and you said Shastra is not able to, only it's only guiding you, it's not giving you, it cannot describe the Brahman. So Shastra is false and Brahman is real. Are you saying by studying Shastra you can attain Brahman? If you say that, you are saying by from false you can get the real or truth. How is that possible? And you already say that Shastra are only temporary. Once you know you are Brahman, Shastra are useless. So how can something which is useless give you something which is useful? Moreover, actually Madhvacharya, he has written one book, Srimad Vishnu Tattva Vinirnaya. In that book, he starts by saying, okay, I will deal with the atheist first. So he takes the atheist, he gives 3-4 arguments, says, finish, no further discussion needed. Then he takes Buddhists, then he argues against Buddhists. And then he says, okay, Buddhists also finished. Now next. Then he takes the Pashupatas, the Mimamsakas, the Yoga, Jaina, all the other philosophies. He argues, gives some arguments, 3, 4, 5 arguments. He says, okay, finished, very clear. Jains, Buddhists, Mimamsakas, Pashupatas, Yogas, all of these Sankhyas, I've dealt with in 3-4 arguments each, finished, next. Then at last, he picks the argument against the Mayavadis. And then he gives hundreds of arguments against Mayavadis. And then he writes towards the end, after giving these hundreds of arguments, he says, actually, this philosophy is full of faults. And I don't want to unnecessarily increase the size of this book. So I will stop here. Can you imagine how humiliating that is? Giving all these arguments and then saying, actually there is no substance in that philosophy. Then he gives some very interesting arguments. He says, and this is not on this screen, but I can tell you. Suppose there is, you can imagine Brahman. This is Brahman. This circle, imaginary circle, this is Brahman. Now if I say that within this Brahman there is this Jagat, universe, this world, which is actually false. And in this false world, we are all there who are completely under Maya. But then at any given point in time, there are innumerable jivas in the world who are under Maya. So Madhvacharya says, Mr. Mayavadi, according to your philosophy, Brahman is never free of Maya. Some part of Brahman is always covered with Maya. Because there is always somebody who is in the world. So if some part of Brahman is always covered with Maya, even, and you also say at the same time that everything is ultimately one, it means Brahman is already always covered in Maya. So Madhvacharya says, so Mr. Guru of Mayavadis, he actually says, the Guru of Mayavadis, please shut your mouth up and don't speak. Because no matter how much you preach and speak, and how many jivas you move to full realization of Brahman, some part of Brahman is already always going to be under Maya, is already in Maya. So there is no point in you pushing your preaching ahead. So just, it's a situation where you are tongue-tied completely, isn't it? Finally, he says, like he said about Maya, the Siddhanta for Maya is simply an energy of the Lord. Actually, the real understanding is, Maya is nothing but the energy of the Lord. And who is Jiva? Jivas are not, like he says, you know, these different pots with upadhis. Jivas are actually an amsha of the Lord. Directly Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mama Ivamsha Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Whereas, what do they say? These are like different pots. But then the problem is, if you say we are simply different pots, how will you explain our different perceptions? The argument against that is, Ramanujacharya, he presents the argument, how will you explain that your perception is different to mine? If we are one, Brahman, then how are we perceiving everything differently? How is the perception differing? It cannot differ. If we say underlying, we are all one. So why different perceptions? Why different experiences? Why different reactions? No, we are not one. We have different experience, different perception, different reactions, because we are individuals, we are many. We are amsha of the Lord. And Ishvara, this is the worst, according to all the Vaishnava Acharyas, this is the worst, most offensive point of the Mayavadi, that is, that Ishvara is also a Jiva who is staying in this world just to inspire us to become like them. Essentially. Once we become like them, then there is no Jiva, Ishvara, there is no me. I am Ishvara. And Ishvara and me, we are Brahman. So, this is the most offensive thought of the Mayavadis. The most offensive for the Vaishnavas. He is actually the Supreme Lord, who appears in this world to give His mercy to the Jivas. Ishvara is never bound. And what is the means of liberation according to Mayavad? It is only knowledge. So any Mayavadi, they will only and only engage in cultivating knowledge. Because only by that one momentary realization, the aha moment, aha, I am Brahman. So they call it Brahma Gyan. You are sitting, so same in Buddhism also. Buddha was sitting under a Bodhi tree, which is a Ashwatha tree, people tree. And he had an aha moment and he became Buddha. Similar, exactly same. The Mayavadis also, they need that, they are working all their life just for that aha moment, that they are now Brahman. Finished, game is over. So, this is how they think. What do we think? It's surrender to the Supreme Lord. That is the means of our redemption. Surrender. The presentation of counter-arguments is a mix of... Anyways, this seminar can be done in a much deeper manner. We can go through on a whiteboard. But it suffices to give you a high-level understanding of Mayavad. I have not come across many devotees who even understand Mayavad. But yeah, we all know that we have to condemn Mayavad in some way. But we don't know what we are condemning and why we are condemning. And that's why devotees also fall prey. Sometimes they meet a Mayavadi, they think, oh, he's also like us. He's also very nice. It's the intention. Superficial activity may be the same. So Prabhupada, do you know that Prabhupada's pranam mantra? You know pranam mantra of Prabhupada? There are two words, nirvishesha, shunyavadi, paschatta desha tarine. Now tell me the meaning of these words. Actually, you may not know. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, chapter 10, text 84, purport, Prabhupada himself explains the meaning of his own pranam mantra. Did you know that? Huh?
To destroy.
Yes, but he explains his own pranam mantra's meaning with purport. So anyone with good BBC English can read this loud. And who's good at English? Certainly not me. Not with the BBC English. David, I can exclude you. Unless it's BBC Ireland, you know, you could do BBC Ireland. Pravajan Prabhu, do you want to read loud? Is it, can you see it?
Yes.
Yeah.
As members of the Krishna consciousness movement,
yeah.
As members of the Krishna consciousness movement, we belong to the family, or disciplic succession of Sarasvati Goswami. And thus, we are known as Sarasvatis. Obeisances are therefore offered to the spiritual master as Srivatsa Deva, or a member of the Sarasvata family. Namaste Sarasvati Devi, whose mission is to broadcast the cult of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gauravani Pracharani, and to fight with impersonalism and voidists, Nivasesa Sunyavadi, Pastitaya Disatarine.
Thank you. So Prabhupada himself is explaining his own pranam mantra in his book, so that we know what is the meaning. So this is the presentation. We do have time today, and I wanted to keep some time for discussion, questions, comments, any counter arguments, if at all.
Yeah, can I mention something?
If you found this class was siddhantically heavy, please read this verse of Mahaprabhu. Siddhanta baliya, siddhanta baliya chitte na karo alas, iha hoite Krishna lage sudrida manas. Please don't be lazy to understand siddhanta. Because if you understand siddhanta, you will have firm faith in Krishna. By understanding the other's view and being able to counter that view, by understanding Purva Paksha, then doing the Uttara Paksha, and then understanding the Siddhanta, we can really strengthen our own conviction and our own faith. And we will not fall prey to unscrupulous individuals. You know, they may not do it with any ill intention. And I'm not suggesting that Mayavadis are bad individuals or people, or Shankaracharya certainly is Lord Shiva, very worshipable. We worship him of all things. So there is no condemnation of Shankaracharya as a person. Sripad Shankaracharya is respectable. Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambho. Amongst all the Vaishnavas, Shambhu is the highest. Neither are we condemning individuals, Mayavadi, some Mayavadi sannyasi individuals. We are not condemning the individuals. What we are condemning, on whose strength are we condemning? Why we are condemning? That is why I showed you the last purport here. He, Prabhupada says, last line is, to fight with the impersonalist and voidist. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschadesha dharine. Yes, we are condemning their philosophy. Openly, yes. Why? On whose strength? On Srila Prabhupada's strength. On whose strength? The Vaishnava Acharya's strength. Which Vaishnava Acharya's? The Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya's. Only the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharya's? No. Mayavad Khandanam has been done by Vallabhacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya. All of them. Not just our Vaishnava Acharyas. So all Vaishnava Acharyas, on their strength, We condemn the philosophy. We don't condemn the people. We don't hate any individual. We don't hate any person. Neither do we hate Shankaracharya, who is Lord Shiva himself. Okay, having said this, happy to take any questions you might have. Yes, good. Some hands raised. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this clear representation. Just wanted to verify my understanding of the different terms, which you probably didn't use in your presentation. So what my understanding is, Nirvisheshvad, Advaitavad, and Mayavad. All these three are same.
Correct.
To what Prabhupada refers as monism or impersonalism in his books.
Correct.
And then there's second thing, which is called Shunyavad, which in English we refer to as voidism. That is the Buddha's philosophy.
Correct.
And the third is Brahmavad or Brahmavadis.
Impersonal. Okay, so Brahmavadis are not Mayavadis.
Yeah, so this refers to those who consider the Brahma Jyoti to be supreme, but
correct,
they accept the personal form of the Lord as well.
And they accept Paramatma as well. Brahmavadis are generally the yogis. Okay. Generally. And jnanis, both. Yogis ultimately want to get siddhis and then merge. And jnanis, they think that the ultimate is being one with Brahman.
And one more small thing. So when you are saying that they need a guru because guru is more realized, so do they have any particular kind of sadhana or anything? Because
their sadhana is only and only viveka. Viveka meaning to discriminate between what is Atman, what is Anatma. Atma, Anatma, Viveka. This is, I did not quote it, but here, this is the sadhana. Atma, Anatma, Vivechanam, Swanubhavo, Brahmatmana, Samsthitihi. You will be established in Brahman simply by this practice of Viveka. So they simply practice Viveka by saying, not this, not this, not, for example, is this Brahman? Is this the ultimate reality? No, it is illusion. Not this. What about this? No, this laptop? No. Neti, neti, neti. This. So their sadhana is simply jnana, which is based on neti, neti. Next.
Thank
you. Yeah? Yes, Prabhu. There were some other hands raised. Huh? Okay, yeah. Yes. Good.
Thank you very much, Karthikananda Prabhu. Very clear and concise. You mentioned the term anirvachaniya, I think in relation to maya.
Correct.
And I wondered how this is different from the Vaishnava concept of achintya in our philosophy in general.
Achintya and anirvachaniya may sound similar, especially within the achintya bheda bhed tattva. But it is actually a completely different concept, and I'll tell you why. For example, light. Did you study science at school? At least, you know, you must have done triple science or physics, chemistry, biology. In physics, you must have studied about light. So there is a understanding even now in among scientists that light is both a wave and particles. So is it a wave or particle? It's simultaneously both. So you try and understand this carefully. It is simultaneously both a wave and a particle. It is achintya. It's not understandable easily that how it is simultaneously both wave and particle. But anirvachaniya literally in Sanskrit means, sorry, cannot describe it. It is undescribable. So if you ask a child, tell me something about what light is, the child may say, I don't know, I can't describe it. That is completely saying like there is no understanding, almost saying there is no possibility of understanding it. No possibility. So it's only a negation. No possibility of describing, no possibility of understanding it. Whereas in Achintya Bheda Bheda, it is double positives. There is Bheda and there is Abheda also. Both are positives. Like light is both particles and wave. Did you follow that? Do you understand the key difference? That is why we have to really understand Siddhanta. Otherwise, actually, for anyone who is a Madhyama Adhikari, he is known as Madhyama Adhikari because he has very well understood Siddhanta and he has 100% Shastriya Shraddha. He cannot be, his conviction is so firm, he will not waver. We have to endeavor to come above the Kanishtha platform, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is also Vaishnava Praya, means only Vaishnava in resemblance, having tilak, nice shikha, nice kurta from Vrindavan or maybe from Prada, I don't know where, a nice dhoti, and sometimes in saffron, someone with danda, someone with... No, this is all external. Your danda will not save you, your saffron will not save you. Your beautiful house and wife and nice children will not save you. Neither will any of this make you a pure devotee. What will? Siddhanta baliya chitte na karo alas. Don't be lazy understanding Siddhanta. And Siddhanta is that which transitions you from being a Kanishtha to being a Madhyama. How? Because by understanding Siddhanta, you will have Shudrida Nishchay. Das Goswami, Kaviraj Das Goswami says, you will have firm faith in Krishna. And that is what distinguishes you as a Madhyama or a Uttama from a Kanishtha. So we have to understand these. Very good. I love this question because Achintya seems similar. But are you clear now? What is the difference? Very good. Two more questions. Okay, yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for a very illuminating and entertaining class. Kind of related to your point you made at the very end. Prabhupada mentions that even a liberated soul should not listen to Mayavad Bhashyam,
yeah.
Because he may fall down. So how is that possible? Because you mentioned if one has firm faith in Krishna, well, if he's liberated, then he'll never be under the illusion of...
I would like to see the reference of that with context.
I think it's mentioned in the introduction.
But even if it says that, right? Even if it says that, we think liberation as one word in English. But liberation in context is anyone who is on the platform of either entering the Madhyama Adhikari platform with Namabhas and above, up to one chanting Shuddhanam and being a Uttama Adhikari, up to entering Prema, and then in Prema, love also, there are 9 divisions. From Shraddha to Prema is how many steps? 9 steps. You know, once I went to Norway for a visit, and they took me to one tower, and there were only stairs to climb, and it had 9 levels. And I was thinking every level, it's like 9 stages of bhakti. It was so tough, especially I don't like to climb so much. So anyway, I reached the top, and I thought from there I could see the whole place. He said, no, now you have to actually climb another spiral step. After you reach the top, another spiral, 9 steps to go to right at the top of the clock. So similarly, we think prem is the highest, na? Until we go deeper and we know that prem also, there are 9 levels. And the 9th level is Mahabhav, which only Radharani has, by the way. We cannot have Mahabhav. But even that prem has... Now, who is liberated? Everyone who is done anartha nivritti and started nishtha. Up to the one who is attained prema and above, the various divisions of prema, all those can be categorized as liberated. However, for example, how many of us here are humans or people? Everyone. But that girl over there, Vani, she cannot drive because she is only 12 years old. We all can drive, given if we have a license, we could drive because we are adults. So although we are all humans, in one sense, within that human there is categorization. So similarly, you say liberated means it includes all these. So those liberated who are in the lower stages of what we classify as the liberated, they may still be liberated, still humans, but cannot drive, should not hear Mayavad. Are you following? And you will find this in throughout Prabhupada's books. For example, Prahlad Maharaj is a pure devotee. Yudhishthir Maharaj is a pure devotee. Gopis are pure devotee. So, Prahlad Maharaj's love for Krishna, Gopi's love for Krishna, Yudhishthir Maharaj's love for Krishna, are they equated at the same level? No, it's like saying, we are all humans. Okay. It's one type of categorization. So yes, they are pure devotees, but even amongst pure devotees, there are gradations. So if should a liberated person listen to Mayavad, it's not recommended, because generally speaking, it is going to affect you. This is one way of thinking. The other way of thinking is, if you go into the thick understanding of Mayavad without pure proper guidance of a Vaishnava Acharya, it will simply, at best, it will confuse you, and worst, it will affect your mind in such a way that you may not want to practice anything. Rarely have I seen Vaishnavas reading Mayavad and going, aha! I have not seen, in my view. Rarely. Even if you can cite some examples, maybe. I've seen many Mayavadis turn around and become Vaishnavas because they do have the aha moment that it's all very frustrating. There is no real juice. Vimukta maninaha, Bhagavatam says. They think they are liberated, only to then realize actually there is no activity here, bhai. There is no fun. There is no happiness. So they fall down again. So, anyway, you go, Abrahma Vunal Loka Punaravartino Arjuna. Krishna has already said, you go anywhere, you will come back. One Acharya says, Abrahma means even if you attain Brahman. Of course, here the meaning is you go to Brahmalok, but he says, no, not Brahmalok. Brahma means also Brahman. Even if you go to Brahman, you come back. Anyway, hope that answers your question. Because these words will, like for example, Prabhupada uses the word religion, or he uses the word demigods. Some people take big issue about using these words. Some in the Gaudiya Math are now saying, oh, you can't say that they are demigods, they are devatas. Yeah, all kinds of word jugglery, but Prabhupada's intention is very clear. When he says demigods, he means they are not the Supreme Personality of God. It's simple. So, we have to be speaking in defense of our Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, with logic and reasoning, not some emotional defense. Okay. Last question, but not the least. Oh, there's two more. Yeah, I have time. I have three more minutes, yes.
Thank you.
I'll give Damodar, yes.
My question is about, I've heard many times in terms of Mayavadis that they go to hell, their destination is hell. And I'm just wondering, in terms of Shankaracharya and Buddha, they advented for a specific purpose, but is it not for the, is there not some way or other to uplift the people?
Yeah. So what is the question?
Is there any mercy for those souls who take part, who follow their teachings?
Well, we saw in Mahaprabhu's own pastimes how he was merciful to both Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashanand Saraswati. So definitely, the Lord's mercy is available to everyone. If that is a question.
For those who are followers of Shankaracharya and Lord Buddha, is there any silver lining for those jivas?
See, everyone, as Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, everyone follows a particular path based on their faith. Vaishnavacharya said that why somebody follows, for example, Advaitavad is because there is an inherent desire to become supreme in all of us. We all want to become the enjoyer, the supreme. And because of that faith they assume a particular kind of, accept a particular kind of philosophy. But does that mean that from a Vaishnava perspective, is anyone so far aloof that they cannot attain mercy? No. Everyone is able to attain the mercy of the Lord's devotees. That is why Prabhupada's Pram Mantra says, Nirvishesha, Shunyavadi, Paschatya Desha, last word is? Tarine, delivering. So yes, they can be delivered. There is the answer to your question. Right there. Yeah? Yes. Hare Krishna. One last question, then we will stop.
It's a similar question to Damodar's. I often wondered why Shankaracharya, he said, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam,
okay.
Bhajagovindam, Mudabhati. Three times for emphasis.
Yes. But
why did they not listen to that?
Yes, because Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, I already explained the concept of Ishwara. So one is, they consider this Govinda to be like Ishwara. So they think, bhaj this Ishwara so that you can become like him. This is what his followers think. Some followers have given a commentary. So Shankaracharya's guru was Govindacharya. His guru was Gaudapadacharya. Gaudapadacharya was influenced by Madhyanika school of Buddhism. So you can see where the Buddhist influence is coming from Gaudapadacharya to Govindacharya to Shankaracharya. Now, when Shankaracharya says, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam Bhajamudamate, Sanprapte, Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati, Dukrinjkarane. This Dukrinjkarane is from the Dhatu part of Panini. The roots, there's a appendix to the Ashtadhyayi, the book of grammar, the roots of Sanskrit language. Different roots are there, dhatus are there. So dukrinj karane is one of the line there. So anyway, so he says, bhaja govindam, bhaja govindam, govindam bhaja. So the commentators say, what he is saying is, worship Govindacharya, who is his guru. By Shankara worshipping his guru, he is becoming his guru. By becoming his guru, he can realize the Brahmanhood. Or by worshipping Govinda, the deity, Ishwara form, who is in this world, who is of ordinary body, one can become like him, like Govinda. And by becoming like Govinda or taking inspiration from Govinda, one realizes one's Brahmanhood. There is no becoming Brahman. You have to just realize that you are a Brahman, like Krishna has realized, like Ram has realized, like Govindacharya has realized. This is their interpretation. The problem is, when somebody is hell-bent on seeing things in a certain way, it's probably a harsh word, but you will always see this thing in that way. I'll end with one nice little story. I was with a friend and he was doing some work with Alcoholics Anonymous. And he went to some alcoholics forum and he went with two jugs, one jug of water, another jug of alcohol. Yeah? And he had a live worm which would survive in the water. He took the worm and he put it in the water. And the worm was wriggling and, you know, swimming happily. And then he took the worm and he put it in the alcohol. And the worm died. His intention was to explain that alcohol kills. Yeah, the worm died. So he asked the question, so now you can see what happened. He asked the alcoholics, please tell me what you understood. So one guy who was maybe in half consciousness, he somehow raised his hand. He said, yes, sir. That man stood up and said, I realized, thank you for your presentation. I realized it is very good to drink alcohol. It will kill all the worms in the stomach. So it is like this. Bhaja Govindam, Govindam, Bhaja Mudamate. Oh, worship Govindacharya. Oh, worship Ishwar Govinda. To become Govinda. This is the unfortunate situation. Anyway, they will say, they will have good reason to say it. Again, we should always be clear, we are condemning the philosophy, not the philosopher, or not the individuals. We should treat everyone with love and respect as far as individuals are concerned. Because that is Vaishnavism, to love everyone. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Samaved Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Shripad Shankaracharya ki jai.